Good morning. It's great to see you all here this morning. It's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord. And looking forward to this wonderful week of Vacation Bible School. I mean, it's just an honor to get the opportunity to provide this for the community and for the children of our church and just for each and every one of us. You know, I hope that this can be a time of renewal for each and every one of us as well. I mean, it's a lot of work, and it's tiring, and there's battles, and all the things. But God is good. Amen. God is good. Looking at the series called Reboot. You know, and I just thinking about this time of year, and so many people go on vacations and things of that nature this time of year. And what is a vacation? It's just a time to reboot. I mean, all the work, you need a little downtime, you need a change of scenery, you just need to reboot things. Makes it all easier, work better whenever you get back at it. I was thinking about revival. You know, we often plan revival. But we know that the Lord is the one that brings the revival. And we need to call on Him to revive us, to refresh us, to have a new passion about us, to where we want to serve Him and honor Him with all things. And it just like Laura was talking about, you know, how do we live a life that is an example? And I can't help but think of the word passion. You know, we have to live with a passion. And whenever we have that passion, you're going to tell people what you're thinking and what you're passionate about, whether you like it or not. You take a grandparent with a new grandchild. I hear some confessions in the audience. You're going to tell about this new grandchild. You're going to show this new grandbaby. And you're proud. You're excited. You're passionate about it. And that's the way we need to be with the Lord every day. We need to live a life that is passionate for the Lord. That excitement, that desire. You know, I say we need a reboot here at Liberty. We need a refreshing of our passion. I don't think it's a new passion. That passion is here. But we just need a refreshing of that passion. And I want us to look at Nehemiah today. We're going to be in chapter 2, continuing on. Starting at verse 11. And if you found that in your Bible, you're able and willing, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? Nehemiah chapter 2, starting in verse 11. It says, "So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Then I arose in the night. I and a few men with me, I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Nor was there any animal with me except the one which I rode. And I went about night through the valley gate to the serpent wall and to the refuse gate and viewed the walls of Jerusalem which were broken down and its gates which were burned with fire. Then I went to the fountain gate and to the king's pool, but there was no room for the animal underneath me to pass. So I went up in the night by the valley and viewed the wall. Then I turned back and entered by the valley gate, and so returned. And the officials did not know where I'd gone or what I'd done. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the others who did the work. Then I said to them, 'You see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach.' And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, 'Let us rise up and build.' Then they set their hands to this good work. But then Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard of it. They laughed at us and despised us and said, 'What is this thing that you are doing? will you rebel against the king? So I answered them and I said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. But you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm just so thankful for your word. I'm so thankful for the guidance it provides us, the revelation of yourself that it gives us, Lord. I just ask that you will speak to us through your word, and you'll just hide me behind the cross today, Lord, and just let your words be told. Lord, I know you have great plans. We can read all through the Bible of what's going to happen. I just pray that you will help us have the faith that we need to make this walk, Lord, to serve you with all our hearts. Pray your guidance over us, Lord. I pray that you just empower us, equip us for what your plans are for us, Lord. And we just ask that you reveal that plan so that it's clear. Lord, I love you, and it's in Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So talking about Nehemiah and seeing where this story has brought us. You know, Nehemiah was a cupbearer, and that was a pretty all right job, I do believe. Can you imagine? You know, he got to eat the king's food. He got to drink the king's drink. He got to hang out with the king. You know, that it's like, who else? I mean, what else would you want to do? Who else gets to do stuff like that? He was the king's right-hand man. But it come with a risk. If the king was in danger, he was the first line of defense. If the food was poisoned, he would have been lost. But man, what a job, right? What a job. What an honor. But he gave this job up and answered God's calling. You know, he felt that God was calling, and he seen God's calling him to go back to Jerusalem. Now, we have to think about this again. I want you to remember, he did not have experience with Jerusalem. He did not have experience of the homeland. He was born in captivity, but the stories have been told. And I don't like calling stories, but the accounts of the Bible are for us to have the same fire that he had. You know, he had a desire for something that he had never seen, but he wanted it restored, and he wanted it rebuilt, and he wanted it to be honoring to God. Friends, we're in that same line of work today. Each and every one of us are in that same line of work. We're all called to be honoring to God and to do his will and to build up things that have been torn down and to prepare for the future. You know, we are promised that there's coming a day when the Lord will return, and we need to be ready for that day. We need to help everyone get ready for that day, and that should be a passion within our heart. The title of the sermon today, I'm calling Living Faithfully on Mission. You know, we see Nehemiah, he's had plans. He spent a lot of time fasting. He spent a lot of time praying. And we need to do that. We need to fast. We need to pray. We need to be intentional to ask the Lord for his will to be given to us. But then we need to act. He took a step. He stepped out on the line and he asked, King Artaxerxes, may I go back to the homeland? May I go back to Jerusalem? And may I build the wall? Well, that could have come with a big price. The king could have been upset with him and said, no. He could have just be done with him right then, right there. You know, he could have looked at it as a rebellion against him. But knowing the heart of Nehemiah, King Artaxerxes gave him his blessing. Not only was the king's blessing upon him, but so was that of the Lord. What more could we ask for than to have the Lord's hand on our work, on our will, on the things that we are desiring? And I pray that over this week, all these things, all this hard work that goes into getting ready for vacation Bible school. Sometimes we have to do the work to see the return that the Lord will bring. And we have to give Him honor in all things. We do these things to glorify His name and not to glorify ourselves. The first point I want us to look at today is that we need to have passion and a plan. We see in this account an example of living faith. You know, we all are called to live by faith. Do you have living faith? Now, in all truthfulness, do we have living faith that we go out into this life and we just trust that the Lord is going to provide and He's going to make a way? A faith that drives you to do whatever the Lord leads you to do. You know, that is a hard one. Whenever the Lord says, step out and go and do, and you think, who, me? You know, it's like, who are you talking to? It can't be me. You can't be expecting me to do that. But the Lord calls on each and every one of us to go and do things. And we are to step up and to step out and to walk in faith for Him. So how passionate are you? Are you passionate to give, 52 weeks a year, 52 hours a year? Is that a big investment? You know, it sounds like a big number. 52 hours is a long time, but not in the span of a year. And so often that's what we fall into. We fall into devoting 1 hour, one day, every week to the Lord. And not going and taking the 365, 24 hours a day, and giving it to Him. Sometimes we need to examine what we are putting our faith in. How many of you all have ever been let down? You know, I hate to say this, but, you know, we devote our time to the Lord by saying we're going to go to church. But how many times have you ever been let down by church? How many times have you ever been hurt by church? You know, the things that I think about my childhood and thinking about my time here on this earth and my experience in church, and you're passionate and things are going great and the pastor leaves. You're excited. You're just wholeheartedly in it. And then somebody says something. That argument happens. You think about all of these things that we get let down by the church. But the Lord is calling us to Him. He's calling us to serve Him and not to put all our faith in the church, not put our faith in the people, but to put our expectations and faith in Him, that He will help us walk through, get through, and so long as we are trying our best to serve Him, we have His blessing on us. So is it passion or is it just a job? Nehemiah had a job. He had a good job as the cupbearer, but his passion was for the Lord. His passion was to serve the Lord. And I want you to look at this. What is passion? The definition of passion is a strong and barely controllable emotion. Barely. You can't hardly control it. Have you ever experienced that love, that excitement for the Lord where it's just, I can't control this. I can't help but to go and tell somebody about Him. That's what I call it, an I can't help it attitude. I just can't help it. That's the same joy that we have with our grandchildren and our children and the things that we are passionate about. And that is what we need to be passionate is the Lord to Him. Looking at verse 11, it says, so I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Nehemiah and his crew make this long journey to Jerusalem. It was a long trek. So all this time traveling and getting there, what's the first thing we do? We get to tear into this, right? Nehemiah gives us an example of what to do. He takes a rest. 3 days he was there and getting ready. You know, we live in a world where being busy is a badge of honor. You know, being busy is just that, man, they're busy people. But we have to be chasing the right cause with our business, with our work. You know, even in the story of creation, we see that the Lord took time to rest. And sometimes we have to take that same time. You know, and I'm not just saying let's sit back and do nothing. But it makes me think of a story of a lumberjack who showed up on a job site one Monday morning and he was determined to work. And the foreman said, well, just show me what you can do. So he grabs up his axe and he fells the tree just perfectly. Very smooth, very efficient, very quickly. He says, you're hired. Head to work. So the young man with his axe gets out there, and I mean, he works hard. He's working, and he's felling trees, and he's felling trees. And Monday goes through, and Tuesday comes, and he's back at it, and he's wide open, and he's felling trees. And Wednesday comes, and about dinner time, the foreman comes to him and says, this evening you just pick up your check. I'm going to have to let you go. And the man is like, what do you mean you're going to have to let me go? I've been working hard. I've not stopped. I've worked through my breaks and everything. What's the problem? And he says, well, you're just not cutting it. You can't keep up with the other guys. But I'm working really, really hard. And the foreman says, yeah, but you've not taken time to sharpen your axe. You know, friends, we can go at this. We can go swinging. But if we're going at it with a dull axe, we're not doing much good. We need to take a minute. Turn to the Lord and let Him sharpen us. Let Him prepare us for the journey that He has ahead of us. It says, then I arose in the night, I and a few men with me. I told no one what God had put in my heart to do in Jerusalem, nor was there any animal with me except the one I rode. You know, Nehemiah's plan seems wise to me. He hasn't shared what the Lord is leading him to do yet. So he's had letters with him for safe travels, and these letters have expressed that he is going to build the wall, that he has the king's blessing to go and build the wall. And everyone that he's come in contact with, these governors, have not really liked that idea. It says in verse 10 that they were deeply disturbed that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. So these governors didn't like the plan, but whenever he got to Jerusalem, he didn't quite lay all his cards out on the table. He took time to rest. He took time to survey the things that were happening and the state of the community. You know, we need to do that. As far as needs in the community, we need to assess the things that we can do. We need to look at what difference we can make. Not just take a word for it, but actually get in the dirt, get in the ditches and see what is a need that we can make. But this world doesn't always approve of growth of the kingdom. You know, and we are told that there is one who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And sometimes we need to be preparing quietly. You know, this fallen one is not like our Lord. He is not all-knowing. He is not all-powerful. But he is watching. He is cunning. And he is looking to see where we're going, what we're doing, and how he can set something out there to make us stumble and fall. Looking for the opportunity every chance he gets. And we see here that Nehemiah takes his time and he keeps it quiet. He surveys the things, gets everything lined out, plan in his head, and ready to go to the table with all of his cards, everything in line. And ready to go. And a lot of times that's what we need to do. We really need to stay in prayer that the Lord will lead us to where we're going. What do you want us to do, Lord? Where do you want us to go from here? But we need to be ready to act whenever we're called to go. You know, I think about things that I deal with myself. Those voices in your head. I don't know if anybody else has, you know, I think of the cartoon with the little characters on your shoulder. You know, one saying do good and the other one saying it's never going to work. That's what I hear anyway. You know, it's just like we talked about last week of going to Lake Fest and handing out popcorn. And someone to say, You think you're going to find and bring someone to the Lord by handing out popcorn. That's that little voice saying, don't do it. Don't do it. Stay in the church. Y'all stay in the church. Don't go out into the community. Don't take me anywhere. Don't take him out. Don't take the Lord out. Stay here. We need to be sure that we're listening to the right voice and we're not listening to those little voices saying, don't do. But we're listening to the one that's saying, go and do, and I will make a way for you. The rebuilding had already been stopped once in Jerusalem. And that may have been part of why Nehemiah was being so secretive as well. You know, we can see back in Ezra, chapter 4, that King Artaxerxes already had put a stop to this building once, of the temple and of the wall and everything, because whenever they seen the work going on, the other governors that didn't want the Jewish people to be rebuilt, they started taking and deceitful messages back to the king. Well, they're not going to pay taxes. They're going to stand up on their own. They're not going to be a part. They're going to rebel. And King Artaxerxes said, well, I'm putting a hold of this. We're stopping this until I say it's time. But now it's time. Nehemiah moves forward to formulate a plan of action. Starting in verse 13, we see that he goes out in and he goes out in the night and he surveys the damage. He surveys the wall and he takes an account of all the things that are going on there. And he takes a few guys with him and they really survey the damage and what can be done. And it says, and the officials did not know where they had gone or what they had done. He says, I had not told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the others who did the work. You know, we need a ministry plan, each of us. Not just a church plan, but we need a plan as individuals. That might just be a willingness to help. You know, there's a lot of things going on this week. There's a lot of opportunities to serve. And it's a custom for me, always has been, to just say, well, I'm willing to help, but just tell me what you want to do. You know, sometimes we have to step up and say, hey, I'm willing to do this. If you feel the Lord calling you to say, do this, step up and say, I feel like the Lord's calling me to do this. And I know that there'll be a way to help you do that. And when the plan is together, we set it into motion with confidence. You know, we look at things, we look at everything that needs to be done, and we go to work with confidence. Verse 17 says, then I said to them, you see the distress that we're in now, that we are in, how Jerusalem lies in waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be in reproach. You know, we can find ourselves in a place that we don't even know how we got there. We don't have a clue. The people of Jerusalem have been taken into captivity. But yet now they have found some favor and they're allowed to go back into the homeland. They're allowed to go back to Jerusalem. And they start trying to rebuild things and put things together, their homes, the temple. But things are still bad. The wall's down. Things are just not exactly right. The spiritual life is not exactly right. But this is where they found themselves. And a lot of times this just can sneak up on us and be an issue for us today. But it's important for us to know that when we are following God to do His will, He is on our side. And we can repent. That's what we're called to. We look all through the Bible and from the time of Adam and Eve, we see a need of repentance. We see the people of Jerusalem and the people of Israel so often are called to repentance. They turn away from the Lord. They fall into a routine that is outside of God's will. And they're called to repentance. So we have this opportunity to turn around and no longer be in reproach, as it says. So why a reboot? You know, I don't know where you are with your walk with the Lord. But I do know that it's hard to walk alone. We need church. We need this fellowship. We need each other to help build each other up and to walk alongside one another, to encourage each other, to go at it together. Something that's really hard to convey and really hard to understand is that the reward for passion is greater than the hurt. Whenever we're truly passionate about something, it seems like the hurt is so much worse. Whenever your heart is set on serving the Lord with all your might and all your will, and you're loving Him with everything you got, and someone speaks out and says, "You're not doing the right thing. That don't look right. That don't sound right. I don't want to do this. I don't think this is a good idea." Your passion is crushed. But for us to stay true to that passion and stay true to the Lord is worth it, because the reward is much greater than that hurt. Don't let it get you down. Don't let it pull you down. Continue to walk forward, facing Him. You know, I love that Old Testament scripture that talks about the Messiah and His face being set like flint to the cross. He was set here for a mission, a rescue mission. We also have a mission to worship the Lord, to serve the Lord. And we need to set our faces like flint for that mission. Unwavering. With confidence. That's the second point I want us to look at. Confidence in the face of opposition. In your walk with Jesus, there will be trials and temptations. That's just a given. You know, that can be a hard truth to tell new believers. Follow the Lord. But if you follow the Lord, that's the greatest thing you've ever done. But there's going to be trials. There's going to be tribulations. There's going to be trouble still. It's not going to be a smooth road. And it may even be a little more if you're faithful to the Lord than if you go out and just live as no threat to the kingdom at all. But the reward, the end reward, is so much greater whenever we put our trust in Jesus Christ and we rely on Him. So don't lose faith. Don't let this world pull you down. Stay confident in Him. Verse 18 says, And I told them of the hand of my God which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. We got to seek God's will. We've got to do His will with confidence. And we got to trust that His hand is on it. Not only His, but it said to the kings. He was just the earthly revelation of the things He was doing being right. But it's not of the king that He's doing the work. It is of God. So they said, "Let's rise up and build." Then they set their hands to this good work. You know, Nehemiah was sent on mission from God, but he could not do the task alone. We all have a purpose. You know, my vision, my desire for this church, for us as a family, is that each and every one of us will have our own ministry. You know, I see people that are more willing than others, just in life in general. But man, whenever people take a mission into their hand, it's just like getting ready for vacation Bible school and everything. That my heart is into this. You know, I want to be a part of this. Whether it be the the fair ministry, whether it be Lake Fest, whether it be Easter, whatever it may be, if it's the nursery or just whatever it may be. That is mission. That is the work that we're called to do. And we all have a place in this family. We all have a part. You know, as a family, we work together. We all pull our weight and we do things. You look back at the families, the olden days, they had 14 kids so they could get all the work done. You know, it's need more workers. We're a big family. We need to work together. There is a big job before us. And we need help. I need your help. We all have a purpose. God has a mission for us here at Liberty. And I need your help. He needs your help. All of you. So how can you help? First, I would ask you to evaluate your life and see if there is anything that is killing your passion. You know, how are you going to serve if I'm not passionate for what I'm doing? We all have a history. And whatever in that history may play a part in our passion to serve. As part of a reboot, I keep thinking, you know, the things that used to work can work again. But we don't want to fall in the ditches where we've been before. So that's the great thing about hindsight. They say it's 20/20. You know, we can take steps forward and we continue to do the good, but we can learn from the mistakes that we've made in the past. We can look at these, you know, places where I was vulnerable. I let my walls down. Passion was high. And man, whenever the things that I had my faith in failed me, it hurt. And I'm not going to let that happen again. That's a passion killer. We have to be willing to be passionate for the Lord. Second thing is we need to pray. We see that Nehemiah gives us this example. He prayed before he set out on his mission. He prayed to the Lord. He fasted to the Lord. He hungered for his will. We all need to do that. For our life, for our ministry. What is our ministry? What do you want me to do, Lord? How do you want to use me? I'm willing. Just show me. We have to pray these prayers. We have to fast and long for it. You know, I think about fasting, and that's just passion. That's passion, too. You're yearning for something. You want it so bad that you're willing to give up something else. Third, we need to be willing to answer the call, to say, I can do that. You know, whenever the Lord lays something out in front of us, we need to be willing to go, okay, I see you, Lord. Use me. I'm willing. Fourth, we need to walk in faith. If God tells us to do it, He will make a way. And lastly, we need to keep the passion. Because you will face opposition. Verse 19 says, but when Sanballat and Tobiah, and then we see a new face here, Geshem, heard of it, they laughed. And they despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? Well, the king had given his blessing on this mission. But here are these naysayers again that are speaking up and going, this isn't going to work. What is your plan? The opposition is there. Whenever we take steps forward, there are going to be those that say, that'll never work. Would you look at them over there at Liberty? That's what I want them to say. Because whenever we're doing that, we're doing something. We're stepping out for the Lord. Amen. We're taking the chance and we're relying on Him. We're trusting in Him to use us to advance His kingdom. Man, those voices can be loud. But stay faithful and testify. Verse 20 says, so I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven Himself will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build, but you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. If we stay faithful, friends, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. You know, I'm not here to preach a prosperity gospel. I'm not saying that if we just do this, your pockets are going to be filled, your heart's going to be full, and everything's going to be sunshine, sunflowers, and daisies, and roses, and tippy-toes, and smiles, and puppy dog kisses. But we will find prosperity from the Lord. We will find that joy. You know, whenever, I can't help but think about Job and everything that Job went through, all the trials, but he stayed faithful. And it said that he was restored. I can't in my brain understand how he lost his family, but yet he was fully restored and then some. That's the comfort of the God that we got. That's the Lord that we serve. He can do the same for us. And when we're willing to step out and say, I will serve you, Lord. I will go and I will do what you want me to do. That's the Lord that's wrapping his arms around me and saying, good job, son. Step up and do it. I've got you. We have to keep our faith in him. We have to do whatever it takes. We have to have that passion. You know, all this talk about faith and walking with God and doing his will, the only way that we can do that is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you do not know the Lord, I pray that today will be the day. You know, I hope that you will always know that John's fixing to wrap up whenever he starts talking about Jesus. But friends, the Bible says that there will be a day and that there are people who will say, but Lord, I served. I went to church. And he's going to say, I never knew you. I don't want there to be a day that we come together that I do not tell you to examine your life and to know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior by making him your Lord and Savior, believing, trusting in him. And it's just like I was talking about last week with the race cars and being throttled back and trying to idle yourself for the long haul. Friends, we need to sell out. We need to put it pedal to the metal, wide open, serving with all we got. If you don't know the Lord, let today be the day. Jesus Christ came as a child, as a perfect sacrifice, who died on the cross to pay a debt that he didn't know, to bridge a gap that had come between ourselves and God that was caused by sin. And he paid that debt, and he made that way for each and every one of us to have a relationship with God so that we can walk in this journey that I've been talking about, that we can, you know, have a refreshed spirit that is walking with the Lord and doing the Lord's will. We just have to believe that he died on that cross. He went to the grave and he rose again. He's at the right hand of the Father today. And the good book says that there's coming a day that he will be back for us. And we need to be ready. Once again, I love you all. And I'm so excited to spend eternity with you. But there's a lot of empty seats in this church. And there's a lot of people in my life that I wish were in these seats. I pray we have a passion for this world, that they don't end up in hell, but that we spend fellowship forever in heaven together with the Lord. That's the passion I want us to have, Liberty, that we see this hurting community and we know there's hope in the Lord and we can offer that good news to them and that we do all that we can do to get out and share it. There's no bigger outreach, if I had to guess, than Vacation Bible School. You know, we have spent 2 Wednesday nights going out knocking on doors. I know a lot of you all have talked to your family and talked to family members, inviting them to Vacation Bible School. We advertised at the fair the time we were there, inviting people to church. Lake Fest, inviting them to Bible school and church. You know, it's that focused attention that we put on, we've got this that we want you to be a part of, with the hopes that people who are a part of it will hear the good news and be saved. You know, that's the same hope I hope you all have weekly. Invite someone to church. Whether it be the person at the gas station, whether it be the teller at the bank, whether it be the pharmacist behind the counter, whether it be the cop that pulls you over for speeding, whatever it may be, take the opportunity to share the good news with the people that God puts into your life. That's what we can do as a church. That's how we can live on mission. And whenever we are fired up, we help fuel the one next to us. Whenever the one next to us is fired up, that helps fuel us. We are all a part of this. We are working together as a family. We are the family of Christ at Liberty Baptist Church. And I pray that all that we do honors Him, that we build each other up, and in doing that, we exalt Him in all things. If you need to make a relationship with the Lord, if you need to make amends with the Lord, I pray that you would do so today. I'm going to be down front here in just a second. And I invite you to come. If there is anything that you can think of in your life that is putting a hamper on your passion for the Lord, I pray that you just turn it over to Him and say, Lord, I trust You with this. It's hard for me to lay this down. It's hard for me to feel vulnerable again. But Lord, I want that passion because I know it's worth it. Please take this from my life and let me feel that passion that I once had before. That's the reboot that I hope we feel here at Liberty Baptist Church, that I hope each of you feel as you go from this place today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I love You. You are a good, good Father. You're so gracious. You're so loving. Lord, I just ask that You will forgive me for any shortcomings that I may have, Lord, that any trespasses that I have against You, that You will just, I ask forgiveness, Lord. I know that I fail You daily. That's the human side of me, Lord. But I look forward to the time that I will see You face to face. And I trust that when You look upon me, all that You will see is the goodness of Your Son. That's the only hope that I have, is that sacrifice that was made for me. Lord, I pray that You will be with us this week as we host Vacation Bible School, Lord. That we will exalt You, that we will lift Your name up, and that the gospel of Jesus Christ will be shared with the young people of Russell County, with the young people of our families, that You will draw them in to You, Lord. That hearts will be softened and ears will be opened, and that we will all have an energy and a boldness to share Your good news with them, Lord. The only hope we have is in Jesus Christ. And I turn to that hope today, Lord. I just pray also Your guidance for this church. Lead us, direct us, help us find the mission, the field that You want us to serve. How You want us to walk daily, Lord, just to pray that You guide those steps. And I pray that You will just stir up inside of us a passion for You. That people in this community will go, there's just something different about those folks over there at Liberty Baptist Church. I want that. I want that relationship with the Lord that they have. I'm so thankful for your son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his holy name I pray. Amen. If you would, please stand as we close today. If there's anything on your heart that you need to